Hello and welcome to the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is episode 5 and the date is September 19th, 2016. And I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are of McFlugel.com. And Slappy, do you want to start us off with today's episode topic?
Yeah, sure, Rollo. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Today we're going to talk about fraud and how the market can solve fraud or help solve fraud. Not, you know, you never really eliminate any crime. But I had an experience last week on my debit card. I went into a gas station, tried to fill up with gas, and my card was declined. That really confused me at first. I didn't know what to do, so I went to the 7-Eleven. I tested it in there. It got declined again. So I knew something was up because I knew I had money in there. And sure enough, had a voicemail that alerted me that there was suspected fraud on my account. I called over to customer service. I got an actual human on the line. Yeah, whenever you call the customer service lines, you're always thinking, oh, this is just going to be a pain. And surprisingly, it got right to a human being. Told him I had a voicemail. He looked up my account, verified some information. He asked me when the last time I used it, and I couldn't really remember the last time. I was thinking back. I said, I don't know. I can tell you I got declined at the gas station. I got declined at 7-Eleven. Said, okay, you wanted a Walmart in Colorado, were you? So I kind of laughed, said no. He said there was a charge for $9 and something cents on it, and then they tried right after that to do a charge for $47, which was declined. So why is this interesting? I can continue the story. But why is this interesting to this point is, one, I didn't check my – I have mobile banking. I look on it all the time just to make sure my money's there and the things I spend are there. But I didn't have to alert the bank and say, hey, I just saw a charge on this in Colorado. That wasn't me. I'm in Pennsylvania. They alerted me to that. So I think that's kind of cool, and it saved me at least $47, probably a lot more had – whoever stole my information, whoever stole it, was able to spend it. I'm sure they would have spent as much as they could before it eventually did get shot down when I noticed it. But I didn't have to notice it. My bank did. And they alerted me to that. So they asked me if I wanted to dispute the charges. I said, well, if it's going to cost me more than $9, then no, I don't want to. So he said, no, it's free. It's just, I'm going to email you a form. Just sign your name. It says you want to do it. Well, 2 days later, I got my $9 back. They canceled my card, sent me a new one with the chip in it. I still had the old debit card because I asked how this could possibly happen because I bought some things online. I wasn't really sure maybe if they knew or if they could tell. And he said what happened was somewhere where I swiped it with that magnetic strip, it had to get hacked. Someone got my number and they were able to use it. So I don't know where or when that happened, but the bottom line is they cut it off as soon as they noticed it. As soon as they were alerted to it, they called me. It was resolved. Everything was taken care of within a week. I didn't have to go to court. I didn't have to sue anyone. We didn't have to send out a force to go find the guy. It was all taken care of on my end. Now, the bank, I don't know what they do behind the scenes. I'm sure they want to get their $9 back too. But on my end, they were out to please the customer. They always get the bad rap that the banks hate the little guy. I'm definitely not one of their big depositors. I know that. But they took care of me, and I didn't have to fight them. I didn't have to call a million people. It was really a painless process, besides the fact that I have to get a new card and you know, activate it. But I thought that was an interesting story because we're often challenged on how would the free market handle this or that or whatever. And here's a real-life example that we've probably all been through at one point or another. And it was handled rather painlessly. You have any thoughts on that, Rollo? Did I do a good job explaining my story?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've had my credit card number stolen twice. And both times I immediately got an email from my credit card company alerting me of it and saying, telling me that I was about to get a phone call from them so that I knew that it was the credit card company and not a scammer. So they also do a good job of making sure that you know who is trying to contact you. And again, it was situational. Where I think the last time it was, hey, did you make a charge at a Pep Boys in Oakland, California? And I kind of laughed and said, no. He said, okay, we're going to cancel your card. You won't be charged, you know, any of the charges, obviously, and we're going to send you a new card right away. And, you know, same thing like you said. Yeah, it's a little bit of pain in the butt to not have your credit card for a couple days, although I do have a second credit card that I could use. But yeah, they handle it really seamlessly. Didn't, as far as I know, didn't affect my credit score. Didn't, other than the annoyance of not having my normal credit card and being able to get points, that was the really only inconvenience about it.
And but the alternative, though, is whoever stole your card wasn't able to spend it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could have been in a lot of debt. You could have been in a lot of trouble.
Right. And how can they? How do you catch a guy like that, especially for, you know, only a few dollars? I think it was a 40-something dollar charge. It was one of the charges they put on. I'm just happy. Of course, I would love to catch the guy. He's trying to steal from me, but I'm just happy that he didn't steal from me, and now I'm protected. Another interesting thing is, you know, I'm sure you've traveled, and you used your credit card while you were traveling, and I'm sure you didn't alert your credit card company that you were traveling, and you don't get denied then. So it's very interesting that
Actually, have you? I was actually going to say, I do have a story, similar one. This was years ago. I was traveling a couple states over, going out to Indiana to see a football game. And so, yeah, I typically use my card in Pennsylvania. I'm not usually out of state. Well, I got out to Indiana. I swiped my card. It got declined. So now I'm, you know, a couple states over. So I immediately called the bank and said, my card just got, what happened? And they said, there was suspicious activity. Can you tell me where you use your card? I told them the stuff for gas in Ohio. Da, da, da. And they said, okay. And they turned it back on. So, yeah, that was a little annoying. But better safe than sorry, right? I guess. I don't know. I mean, I actually kind of appreciated it. And they turned it right back on. So I had, when, as soon as I got declined, I called in immediately because I needed money. I didn't have cash on me. Maybe a mistake on my part. But either way, I was stuck a couple states over with no money. So first thing I did was call, and they turned it back on. They didn't have to cancel the card and send a new one. They were able to say, okay, we verified it was you. These were your charges. Go ahead and use it. So that was rather painless as well, although it was frightening at the time. That was the first time my card had ever been declined. So
that reminds me, I do have a story where my card got declined, and it shouldn't have been. It was not long after I bought my house, and so I was filling my house with stuff, and I went to a Home Goods for the first time in my life, and I'm spending about $500 there, which is not what my typical credit card spending history looks like. And so I'm at the checking out and trying to swipe it and getting declined. And I don't know what's going on. And so, you know, I used another credit card. And when I got home, I looked at my email, and the credit card company was asking, you know, sent me something like, is this you? It's a suspicious charge, not something you normally do. Click here to verify it's you, and we'll go through. Now, if I had checked my email, you know, right away, because my credit card shouldn't be getting declined. I knew I was well below my credit limit and everything. I should have, you know, looked at that like you did in your situation. But, yeah, they were conservative. And, yeah, it was a little bit annoying, just in the sense that, oh, I had to pull out another credit card. And it's a little bit embarrassing to have a card declined in front of people, but you know, I'd much rather have that than them be, you know, looser with it. And I'm okay with them making mistakes when it's me making the charge every once in a while. And they've got a pretty good record of that. It's only happened once, I guess, that they suspected it was someone else when it was actually me. But every time that it has not been me and someone makes a charge, they've gotten them. So
yeah. Yeah, without, and how many times, I mean, how, besides the inconvenience of losing your card, you didn't have to show up in court, you didn't have to take time off of work, you didn't have to go testify your story, or maybe you did. I know I did not. It was very painless and seamless.
Right. So I have a question for you. You talked a little earlier about how people maybe criticize libertarianism and say, well, how can the market solve this problem and everything? So one of the questions we're likely to get is, well, how do you prevent fraud from happening in the market?
You're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you. How do you prevent fraud from happening in the market? Well, how can we prevent some people from stealing your credit card information and trying to use it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're trying to figure that out with these chips, and there's other ideas I'm sure they're working on. But I don't know that you – I mean, I'm sure there's always a way to commit fraud, to steal. I mean, there always will be. But I think the way that these cards handle it is pretty impressive to me. I don't know what more you're looking for on there.
No, it was basically a trap question.
Yeah.
We get all the time where it's kind of a people commit the Nirvana fallacy, asking for perfection when all we're really looking for is...
Well, the truth is it happens in today's world. So if you're saying we can't go with a stateless society because there would be fraud, well, I can tell you last week there was fraud on my card. It didn't prevent it. But luckily, you know, things in the market, the banks who always have this bad reputation for some reason, among a lot of people, not everyone, but, you know, they're just trying to screw you and make a dollar any way they can. But they really took care of me. And I have no allegiance to this. I mean, I have used them for a while, but... I don't work there. I don't know anyone who works there other than when I used to go. I haven't even been in a bank branch. I can't even tell you the last time. But they did a great job handling it, and they stopped it, and they got me my money back. So, I mean, that's one pretty good way to handle fraud. As far as catching the other guy, I don't know what they do on their end. I'm sure they don't want people getting stolen cards and using them. But I'm sure there's cameras, and they could probably go back and look at the tape of when this was bought and who bought it, and could alert people that this person has fraudulent cards. I don't know. There's many ways, but I know in the world today, there's a lot of fraud going on. With a stateless society, we're not saying everyone's angels and being perfect, that's for sure. But there's ways to prevent it, and there's ways to protect yourself from it. So.
Right. And to your point that, you know, the bank took care of you with all this, I think in general, businesses get a bad rap that people act like, you know, any chance they get to get one over on you, they're going to do it. But for the most part, the customer gets, you know, they wait on you hand and foot. You can buy something at a store, take it home with you, open it up, start using it. Decide for just you don't want it anymore. That can be your only reason. I just don't want this anymore.
Yeah. You looked at it back in your house, it didn't fit. You thought it would look good and it didn't look good.
Right. You bring it back to the store and usually no questions asked, they take it back and refund you your money. They don't make you prove that it was defective or anything. It's obviously isn't always going to be the case. If you spend, you know, $1,000 item and you use it and it's not worth anything anymore, yeah, they're probably going to. But for the most part, if you go to or even a supermarket, you bring it home, you say, oh, this wasn't good. It was bad, you know, the fruit I bought had some mold on it or whatever. They'll take it back and they'll refund you your money because the understanding is that not that they care about that $5, $10, $20 item that you spent. They care about you over the long run. They care about you consistently giving them business, and they care about you talking to other people about that business. Where if you come back and say, go out and your friends and family and say, hey, you know, the grapes I bought were bad, and they can't, you know, they refunded me my money, treated me really well about it. You know, that makes people want to shop there. Where if you go, oh, they were jerks, and they didn't give me my money back. How dare them? It's not a good reputation for your business to have. I know we're going off topic with types of businesses here, but I've had to get my windshield and my car replaced a few times, cracks. And so I use SafeLight, and they have those commercials where it's like everything's so hunky-dory and so easy. The guy comes in, he's friendly, shows up on time, replaces your window, everything's great. And you think, oh, it's just what the commercial's telling me. It's like... in my experience, and I'm only, you know, I've had two experiences with it, but that is exactly how it works.
Well, on one of their, just a question for you since you've used it. On one of their commercials, I remember, I thought this was cool. They said they send a picture of the technician who's going to go out there. So you know, like, this is the guy who's supposed to be there. It's not someone scamming you. Did you get that?
No, it's been a few years though. It's been like 4 years since the last time I had to do it, I think. Three or four years. So I don't know if it was, if that option was there yet. But I've used them both where I, at the parking lot where I work and also at home. And they show up exact, like they say, he's going to show up at this time. Boom, right on the money. It's not even, it's not like an hour window. It's, he's going to show up at 8:30 in the morning. 8:30 comes, I have a phone call. Hey, I'm out here in the parking lot. Come and meet me. Tells me how long it's going to take. You know, when that time comes, gives me another phone call. Hey, you want to come out here, look at it, I'm done. And the one guy told me afterwards, he gave me a little piece of paper with a link to direct me online to feedback. And he says, hey, I would appreciate it if you send this feedback. This is how they determine how much they pay. I forget how he phrased it, but he said, this is how they determine how much we get paid.
Yeah, he probably gets bonuses based on his customer service, yeah.
Right. So it's really, and it shows the incentive for the businesses to take care of the customer well, because it helps their business. If it didn't help their business, then they wouldn't be paying people more who satisfy the customer so much. So, and it's the same, the same thing with all businesses and banks and everything.
Yeah, one more quick story. I guess 2 weeks ago, my refrigerator broke. It was on a Friday, worst time, because the weekend's coming. So I asked my sister-in-law, who lives in the neighborhood, you know, an appliance guy. She gave me a number. I called him. Of course, I left a voicemail. It was a Friday evening. He called me back Saturday morning when he doesn't have office hours on Saturday morning. He told me he doesn't do refrigerators, but he referred me to four people he knows and trusts who do. And they were able to come out and they fixed the refrigerator. It was pretty cheap, actually. Everything works great now. But just another, you know, that guy called me on a weekend when he couldn't take my business. So what does that do for him? If my dryer ever breaks, I'm going to give him a call because he really treated me well. And, of course, I told my sister-in-law he was great. He helped me out. And so, you know, that's just kind of the built-in incentives in the market that aren't there for government entities, because you have no other choice. You have to use them. So they don't have that incentive to win your business.
Exactly. Yeah, we all know how people can be, especially with social media out there. If you get treated poorly by a business or something, they're going to go all over the place on Facebook, Twitter, talk about it at work, at the next family party. So it's, yeah, it's really, and now Yelp and all these online, Angie's List, there's a, Google has, you know, Google, you type in a business or something to go look it up on the map, and right away they show you the rating that people give them and the top, you know, comments that people said about it. So it's, yeah, how customers feel about the business is extremely important.
And well, what if a rival business just wanted to go and blast their ratings and just give them 100 bad ratings?
Right. So a company like Yelp, if you did it there, they, you know, that's their business is verifiable and honest, true ratings. So if they're sensing or detecting or being told that these aren't true comments and feedback, then it's their incentive to go look into it. And there's actually, I hear on the radio a lot, I used to listen to terrestrial radio more, that there are businesses out there that go out and detect fraudulent feedback for websites, on like feedback websites and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that they say right in the commercial, and I know it's a commercial, so they're gonna, you know, feed you. It's like, this is your lifeline, your online reputation. For a lot of businesses, that is what makes or breaks you. So it is extremely important, and it's also extremely important for people using the website like Yelp to know that they're getting true feedback on these businesses, because if you show up to a, if a restaurant has 5 stars and everyone's saying, oh, it was the best meal I had, and you show up and it's terrible, well, not only are you not going to go to that restaurant again, but you're not going to use Yelp anymore.
Right.
So that's what makes the market so interesting, is that throughout a lot of these situations, there's multiple people that have incentives to act a certain way, which is usually the correct moral, or whatever you want to call it, way. So it's not...
So anyway, I think we've taken enough of your time.
Yes.
But I think we provided some good examples, even if they're anecdotal. You can probably relate to a lot of them.
Right.
On how the market works and how we think it's superior. And I think my experience has been that. I know Rallo's has, and I'm sure yours has too, if you give it some thought. But anyway, thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. Catch us next week. And as always, you can find us at McFlugel.com.
Yes. Subscribe on Stitcher and iTunes. Links are below. And also follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter as well. So have a good evening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.